that you've given me. Did you never worry that I come to depend on you? I gave you all the love I had in me. Now I find you lied, and I can't believe it's true. Wrapped in our arms, I see you across the street.
I see you across the street.
And I can't help but wonder if she knows what's going on. Oh, you talk of love, but you don't know how it feels. When you realize that you're not the only one. Tried to walk away.
I tried to walk away.
But it's not that easy when your soul is torn in two. So I just resign myself to it every day. Now all I can do is to leave it up to you.
I do have to say that that song sounds better when I sing it in the bath.
Of course it does.
I would say that one time. Anyway, Sam Brown, it's so nice to see you again after all these years, because we met when you first had that album out, didn't we, in the late 80s?
I think we did, yeah. We were trying to work out, weren't we? It was either Crouch End or the BBC, wasn't it? One of the two.
Yeah, and I'm shocked to see you because you were the original blonde. The blonde bombshell. Oh, so you weren't naturally that colour, so.
Well, I am actually blonde, but I'm not platinum blonde. I'm sort of a honey colour sort of thing. But I much prefer being dark, I have to say.
It suits you.
Does it?
Yeah, no, it does. It really suits you. But so how long have you been off the bottle?
Well, I'm on a different kind of bottle. Well, quite a long time, actually, a few years. But it doesn't quite go when I'm naked. I mean, I won't go into it, you know.
Right, okay. It's sort of just upstairs, then.
Yeah.
Right. So it's your party. I'm going to take my bracelet off because it's jingling and jangling.
It's good. It's not thanks. A bit of caffeine,
got it in Crouch End. So at this party, then, who's the first person, do you think, that you'd like to see?
Well, I'd like to see George Formby. Because I've been really turned on to George Formby by my dad and George Harrison, the late George Harrison. And my dad recently gave me a ukulele that belonged to George, which was very nice of him. But I'm just getting into the ukulele.
Are you learning to play?
That's why I am learning to play. And I'd love to spend an evening with George going through when I'm cleaning windows and stuff like that.
So I do a bit for you.
Yeah, go on.
I'm leaning on the lamppost at the corner of the street in case a certain little lady goes by. Oh, me. Oh, my. I hope that little lady goes by.
Thanks.
It's my heritage.
I should have brought my ukulele, shouldn't I?
You're the second person to talk about George Formby on Six Music on this show. Robert Wyatt is a George Formby fan as well. There's somebody else as well.
He did. I did a concert with Dave Gilmour and he did that.
God, I'll just pick up some of these names.
Oh, yes, sorry.
I love Dave. I was saying about Dave Gilmour the other day how gorgeous Dave Gilmour was about the time of Dark Side of the Moon. Yes. I really, really had the hots for him. What's he like this time? Nowadays,
he doesn't look the same, but he is still very lovely.
Mm.
I think it's just how he is as a person. He's just quite laid back and. It's unusual, isn't it, in this day and age?
I tell you what, well, could you ring him up and invite him to this party for me?
I'd have to be four guests.
No, he's mine.
Oh, so, okay.
And while you're slipping me his phone number, what's the first song that we're going to dance to?
Well, this is a song I used to dance around my living room to with my friend Mandy Munkham, who had sparse eyebrows. And she'll never forgive me for saying that, but it's true. And we used to dance around the room, and I remember once wearing a pair of pink velvet trousers, which unfortunately split, whilst dancing to this tune in my living room. And the song is called Stuff Like That, and it's by Quincy Jones.
Perfect.
I love it when you get memories of songs, because that's what the music's all about, evocative. Brilliant. See, when I hear, stop, I'm on the bus. I'm on the bus going up the hill in Crouch End, because it just reminds me of that period of my life. So, you had a bit of a rough deal with the record company, didn't you? They wouldn't put out your album and you brought it out yourself, and I thought, good for her. A lot more people are doing that now, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it's difficult. I mean, I did see their point of view, but I think, you know, I spent 3 years promoting Stop and I didn't do any music at all. And I very quickly realised that the record company's skills didn't lay in music for music's sake. And I was really, I think, probably a bit thick when I really did think that it was people, the people you met were the people you met, and they did what they said they were going to do, and that was great. But it's not really quite like that, because they're there to sell a product, and you are the product. But I, as a product, didn't really quite fit into the little box that they designed for me.
So they didn't want to put your record out because they simply didn't think they were going to sell enough to the mass market. Was that right?
It was the third album. And, you know, they were constantly looking for Stop Mark II. And then the all the people changed at the record company. And the guy who took over was a guy called Howard Berman, who's now at Mercury, I believe. I don't know if he is now. And he's a really lovely man, but he had an idea of a soul singer that he wanted. It has nothing to do with me as a singer-songwriter. And I just thought, and I'm not really financially motivated, so I just thought, well, I'll just do my own thing, really.
I know you've never traded on his name, but did you not learn stuff from your dad? You know, you say about you were a bit naive and you thought people at record companies... Was he not in the background, you know, Joe Brown saying, here, Sam, this is what it's like being a musician?
Well, it's not what it's like being a musician, really. It's what it's like being...
A recording artist.
An artist, yeah. And my dad's very into music and he loves music. And he's as bad as I am, really. But he didn't stick by what he's Joe Brown. He's a celebrity. He's a household name. And I saw sides of that I never wanted to happen to me. And he's a lovely man. He's very talented. Some people don't even know he plays a guitar. Do you know what I mean? He's one of the best guitarists in the country. And I think that's a shame. And I don't want that to happen to me.
Don't tell me your dad's not blonde anymore.
Oh, he is blonde.
All right. Yeah. Some things are constants
in life.
Although
I don't know if his pubes are good.
Oh, I don't want to go there. It's your dad. Don't bring my dad into this. Right, so you said that, was it A&M wanted you to be a soul singer?
Well, I think that they didn't really... to be fair to them, I recorded a very introspective album before and after my mum died.
Yeah, it was a personal, very personal time for you, wasn't it?
It was, but that was what I did and had always done since I was 14. It wasn't a new thing to me, but I just became steadfast in, this is what I do. You either want to work with this or you don't. And so given an ultimatum, they very kindly let me go, you know. And that was, I released it myself and did some gigs and had a great time and then had kids. And
good for you.
Yeah.
But soul's obviously in your blood, because are we going to dance now to Patti LaBelle?
Oh, yeah.
Did you like the recent cover version of Lady Marmalade? What did you make of it?
I love Missy Elliott anyway, but yeah, I think it's great. But when I first heard this version, Patti LaBelle just totally, I couldn't believe someone was so up front. It was a live TV show, and it was just so in your face and present. I love it.
Well, before we'd hear it, because I love that velvet pants splitting episode earlier. Have you got any memories of this? I remember being in a club in Leeds, grooving and grinding to this with blokes in white suits and red open neck shirts. Any similar?
Nothing that can top that, Liz.
Get you.
Lady Marmalade, Patti LaBelle. It's really hard to remember all the words to that, but I think we got by, didn't we? Screaming
along. We
did.
We were there, jumping around the room.
So who else is going to be here then? I'm looking round now. Dave Gilmore, he said he's opt in a cab and he won't be long.
Well, am I allowed to do two at a time?
The two in one go.
Just because they'd sort of bounce off each other, I think. I'd quite like to invite Tony Blair, but only because I'd like to invite my friend Lou, who doesn't take any rubbish off of anybody. And I'm not political at all, I'm really not, but she just wouldn't let him off the hook, and it would be like a hammer on a nail, sort of going and going and going. And I met Tony Blair once and I thought, well, he seems all right to me, you know, and that's my view, is he seems like an all right bloke. But I'd quite like to see what Lou would make of him.
What would she say to him? Are we talking about the situation in Iraq, then she'd...
Sorry to diversify here. But
no.
My auntie Margot came to stay with me, and she's from Liverpool. She used to work with my mum in the Vernon's Girls in the 60s. And she said, well, you know, I went out the other day and they were demonstrating against the war, you know. She said, well, I think they wrote that saying for all the Liverpudlians because they're all going, don't attack Iraq, don't attack Iraq. And it was really great. And she's such a peaceful person. It was really lovely.
It's great. You've really got the accent there.
Well, probably not.
Well, you have. Real guttural sound.
I'll get Jip off me mum's sister and me auntie Mary and me uncle Neil. I'll have them all on the telephone now.
Oh, well, there's Tony Blair then, in the corner with your friend Lou.
Yeah.
And she's wagging her finger.
She'd be very calm. And she's sort of from her mother's an artist and she's from Oxfordshire. But she's very... I don't think she's overly political, but she's a person who will be after the truth. She'll be after the truth and what he thinks, and I would just be curious to see what happens.
You're living in Scotland now. People in Scotland... I don't mean to be dumb or naive or patronising, but we never really get a picture of nationwide. I mean, the big march was in London.
Yeah.
Are people in Scotland as touched by... all this as passionate about what's going on as people are nearer the core of power down here?
Without a shadow of a doubt, I think so. I mean, it's very easy, probably the further away you are from everything that's happening, to not even realise it's going on. But where we live, we're a sort of prime location for test driving all the whatever they drive, the low-flying aircraft. And they sort of go past our house, which is in the middle of nowhere, you know, no streetlights or anything, and you can almost see into the cockpit.
Right, so it'd be silly to think that it's not touching your lives up there at all.
Yeah, it frides the life out of you when you're trying to move your primroses about the garden, do you know what I mean? It's like, well, hey, off we go. So, but no, they are. I know there are a lot of demonstrations in Glasgow and I'm sure Edinburgh. I didn't really hear about that. But I got a phone call on that Saturday. It was a Saturday, wasn't it, when everybody was sort of doing that particular day. And my friend Ali phoned me up and he said, I need your help. I said, what is it? He said, you got to come down to the park. We're doing an anti-war demonstration. And I'm like, well, who's there, Ali? And he said, well, Brett's here with his guitar and he's got knows all his punk songs. We've got two amps and a drum kit. And come down. And I'm like, no, I'm not putting my piano in my car and all the three kids I've got here and driving 6 miles. You'll all be in the pub by the time we get down there. But it was a thought that counted, I thought.
But would you do a benefit for...
Of course I would. Yeah,
OK. Well, I think I need another drink now. My thoughts have turned to drink.
No.
Well, it's all this stress and crisis. So here we are. So what's next? Oh, TLC. We need that, don't we?
We do. We all need a bit of TLC.
We do.
Yes.
And what's the song?
Scrubs.
All right. Are you dancing? Oh, do you say it in your answer?
Are you asking?
I'm asking.
A scrub is a guy that thinks he's fine, is also known as a buster. Always talking about what he wants and just sits on his foot. Yeah.
shorty that you don't show love. Oh yes, son, I'm talking to you. Wanna get with me with no money?
We've had a few, and I must admit that you used to, didn't you? You used to like a silk cut, didn't you?
No, I've never smoked in my life.
Have you not hired you down as, you know, the good time girls in the corner with the ashtray?
Oh, I'm a good time girl, but without the fags.
Oh, right, okay. I don't anymore. So I thought, well, she's changed her hairstyle. She's given up all her bad habits.
Oh, no, I've started a few. I've started picking my nose again.
Oh. So. You've bought a flat in London because you were doing so much work with Jules Holland now,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah.
And that must be great to play, because he's a really great pianist. Aren't you envious? The way he tickles the ivories.
I'm envious of his charming character and tactful personality.
Yeah.
No, not really. Well, I am. I mean, I'd love to be able to play like that.
I mean, I'm not saying you can't, but I've never met anybody who can play like that.
I mean, he's a fantastic player, and he's got... You know, that I think it'd be fair to say that it's part of his musical criteria is to always have a small little piece of punk in there somewhere. And, you know, it's amazing how he's got this rhythm and blues orchestra, and mostly it's swing and jazz and boogie-woogie. But there's always this underlying snarl of the 70s, you know, late 70s. And it's great for that. It gives people a kick up the bum, and I think they always get a shock when they come and see us. I thoroughly enjoy it. That everybody's really lovely in the group. This is going to want to make you vomit, probably. But it is a really great thing to do. I tour 6 or 7 months of the year. We go all over the country.
When are you off again?
Well, I'm doing my own tour in April.
So we look up the posters and Sam Brown, in your own name.
Yeah.
Yeah,
not a woman show.
Right.
And then Jules starts, we do summer tour, sort of festivals and stuff, probably late April, May, going right through to August. And then we tour sort of late October through till Christmas, and we do that every year. So I needed my little pad because I was staying in a little hotel, and it gets a bit much when you get chucked out at 10 in the morning all the time.
Hello, come and do the room, please.
Oh, God.
Well, it's been lovely to see you. Thanks for bringing Tony Blair and your friend Lou. and all these great records and George Formby. And it's really nice to see you. So, April, Sam Brown on tour. I have to say this so they'll think I'm professional. Will there be an album?
Well, I'm supposed to be making it, but I haven't got past washing up yet.
Okay. Well, if you need anybody, if you decide to do a remake of Stop! But it doesn't sound the same without a fully tiled ensuite. But Sam, thanks for coming in.
I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.